There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, I'm so, fear tired.
What?
That's the thing about doing a haunted, amusement park. We went to Knott's Scary Farms last night. And also, big ups to the skeleton that scared the fucking shit out of me and then came up close to me and said,
got you, Mr. Zabrowski.
Whoa, you like that, huh?
I thought that was cool. You got me. You did legitimately scare me. I am one of those. I'm an easy, scarable person. Me and Jackie both love it. We give into it. But there does come to a point at every single haunt night, which is the best, right? We're having so much fun, running around screaming.
Sure.
That, you're so, tense from fear that you're exhausted. And then we went to, at Knott's Scary Farms, they do this thing called a buffet.
Ooh.
Where you go, and it's got a buffet, which I thought were dead. They're back. They're alive.
Okay, thank God.
We walked into this buffet, and they have scare actors scaring you.
Uh-huh.
As you get your food. And there is a thing where it's like, I was coming in, honestly, I'm not going to fucking, whatever, man, buffet life. I had a plate that was just Swedish meatballs and corn.
Wow, that is buffet life.
That was a round I wanted, right? I had already gotten the fried chicken. I got some mashed potatoes. I went and got some pork tenderloin.
Sure.
I went over, got some buffalo cauliflower for the vegetarians. Good on you, buffet.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I go back for my second course, Swedish meatballs and corn. A man dressed as a psychotic clown jumps up. Guess what I do?
What?
Corn everywhere.
Whoa.
But it's your fucking problem now. Right?
Well, it sounds like it is quite Scary Farms. I don't know about this whole Knott's thing.
No, but that's a man's name, Kissel, you fucking piece of shit.
Well, that's a great day to be a little rat. It's corn dinner because
corn
scared
dinner.
Henry dropped a bunch
but
of food on the floor.
But a lot of it was mostly just them screaming at you while you ate.
Well, that's fantastic. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben hanging out with Henry. Mm-hmm. We can scream at you right now, and if you happen to be eating, it's kind of like you are at a haunt.
Put the
are
sandwich you in your mouth! Put your sandwich in your mouth, you fucking gremlin! Eat it!
Absolutely.
Eat the sandwich! Yummy, 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 yummy! Oh, you're a hog for lunch, aren't you?
Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of gremlins, evidently on the Warnke episode, I mentioned Ayn Rand. And just to clarify, she is a bitch, number one, I guess. I have to
Good
clarify
work.
That. Thank
number
you.
One.
No problem
Boom.
There.
Got it right in the fucking
And then number
tuckus.
Two, I guess she did not survive the Holocaust.
No.
So there you go. It's part of her mythos that may be a bit of a lie. Nonetheless, hopefully that can tame some of the commenters out there.
Yes.
Okay, let's move
also,
on.
Can I give a shout out to
sure.
friend of the show,
sure.
V. Kelly. V. Kelly got married this weekend, and I want to say I got to see it virtually, and I just want to say, V, wow, good work.
Whoa.
You did it. Beautiful hand fasting ceremony. She's married to a wizard now, and you could feel the ritual deep down inside.
Well, we have a wizard story coming up here in just a second, but let's first do just a bit of an update. The law firm, we all know Alex Murdaugh is a piece of crap. We all know
Fuck
that
you,
he's
Alex
extreme,
Murdaugh. Fuck
he's
you, extreme, you piece of shit.
He's extremely fraudulent, and as the story continues to unravel, that's our little pet story. Everyone else can have every other story. This story to us is
this
so
is my
freaking
favorite.
Fascinating.
Alex Murdaugh ain't going anywhere.
No, he's not. So his law firm, obviously that was the law firm that was from his family lineage, my grandfather, my father, and now I will run the law firm. But I don't know if the two previous people stole a bunch of money from said law firm. He is now finally being sued from his law firm, by his law firm, or former law firm, because he took so much money.
Yeah,
from
got
them.
That
so,
motherfucker. Get him right when he's down, man.
It just seems like every day this weird sociopathic socialite from South Carolina wakes up and sweats while getting the mail because every letter is like, you fucked up again. You fucked up once again. And at some point, doesn't he have to have a funeral for his wife and son? Which
no.
I don't know if they have.
No, that's gross. He ain't got time for that. He's a lawyer.
My
thing is about this whole story again is that it shows how...
Oh, also it was founded by his great-grandfather. So this this is a whole... Woo!
Yep, and they're coming for him finally. But to be honest, right, this shows how the House of Cards... Not to even namesake that show again, right? I guess that's what they say about this fucking bullshit, right? Of these entitled pricks whose whole lives have been protected by the fear that they've created around them. But it's also interesting how, like, as soon as somebody up top says, we don't like this person anymore, they're out of the circle, boom!
Boom.
They just fucking get got. The cops come, the old stuff. And then you also wonder how many people, though, have been protected by these same exact family lines for years and years and years that have done the same exact shit, because these power structures exist all over the country.
The only thing you don't, the only thing you can't do is murder your wife and your son. Even though he did do that, he is still not accused, or he has been accused of it, but he's still not been arrested. So he's still being protected. But anyway, so a lawsuit from his former law firm alleges that they found a check on Murdaugh's desk, right? And this check was supposed to be issued to PMPED. That's the name of the law firm.
Sure.
However, it was made payable to Alexander Murdaugh Esquire.
Yes.
As opposed to the law firm. So they were like, oh, here you moron. Okay. It looks like the check is going to the wrong entity.
And this is my, this is another word of a criminal advice to people that are currently like lawyers. If you are embezzling money from your law firm, whatever you're doing, I'm going to say, give yourself a little bit of like a little bit of a correction, and don't put Esquire on the check that you write to yourself, because I feel like, come
what
on, you're
Esquire?
Still in
what
that
does
moment,
it mean again? What is
it's fancy for lawyer. It's fancy for lawyer. In that moment, you're not a citizen. You're stealing from the lawyer. I feel like you're stealing from your lawyer yourself. And so in that way, you'd be like, this is me being just me.
Yeah.
I'm not Esquire right now, but who knows? Maybe you're proud because you finally getting it over on these pieces of shit that are working you to death.
Yeah.
All right.
So
here's
a bit of an update there.
Here is another breaking news from Side Stories, last podcast on the left. I am fucking great today. I'm certainly not destroyed by being frightened all night. But as happens on Side Stories, I would say, how many times a month does this happen? 2 times a month, where the biggest true crime news of the week, by far, will come out the second we record.
Yeah, it happens quite often. I think it's also a testament to just how much crime there is.
There's just so much.
Because it's impossible to net it before we record.
So now, guys, there's another bad Gary out there. Another mean little Gary. Gary Francis Post has been named by a group of sleuths, web sleuths, former investigators. These guys who came back together, I believe that they are called the Case Breakers, that are a group of, I guess, former investigators, bored old people on the internet looking to close cases. They believe that they have found the real identity of the Zodiac Killer, Gary Post, Gary Francis.
Which was also the middle name of the head character from House of Cards.
Yes. So strange.
Weird.
But guys, okay. So last week, everybody was in a tizzy. They're like, sure, we got him again.
Did we, though?
I don't know. I'm not even going to say I don't think so, because we don't know.
No,
we have
idea.
No fucking clue. The news dropped, right? And they said, we got him. And they say, we definitely have evidence on him. And now it's been a week. And I have seen absolutely nothing.
Well, as a ufologist, this is a week that's kind of par for the course, where you're like, I was promised some big bombshell, but where is it?
But and sometimes with that, we at least have a picture.
Sometimes. And of course, our friend of the show, Billy Jensen, he has, I believe it's the Murder Squad pod that he does, but he investigated the case, and he had so if you want to watch his little tweets, his Twitter rant, as a ufologist, the inside fighting from groups of people.
Oh, true crime gossip is incredible.
True crime gossip is hilarious.
He dropped some tea, because he said the head of the Case Breakers was like trying to get him to make the case for another guy being D.B. Cooper.
And he said he couldn't do it.
Yeah, Billy said he wouldn't do it because he said their evidence is not there. Meanwhile, the head of the Case Breakers is saying, like, we're making this guy our D.B. Cooper. We're making them D.B. Cooper. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So now this is the same guy saying Gary Post is a Zodiac Killer.
Right.
They're saying they have inside information from a part of the Zodiac Killer's crew. of murderers. So there was a crew of guys. And one of these guys said that they would go out to these properties and that Gary Post himself would teach, he would go and he would groom him into being a serial killer. And so now they're saying that they have evidence, but the only evidence that they've so far admitted to having is saying that they have some corroborating evidence as to locations that Gary Post lived in and where murders that have been attributed to the Zodiac Killer have also been. And they say that it fits this timeline. And they say they have DNA.
So this, yes, the case breakers also said they had some new physical and forensic evidence, and they also interviewed, I guess, eyewitnesses who supported their theory
apparently
that an Air Force veteran who died in 2018 was behind the murders. According to Tom Colbert, he is the member, he is a member of the case breaker, of the case breakers. He says, I absolutely feel we solved this case, but can we take him at his word? We just don't know.
We don't know.
The FBI and San Francisco police departments have declined to comment, and they are still sort of like, okay, well, we have much more investigations to do. So the official entities that kind of matter, as opposed to web sleuths, that not that they don't matter, but they serve a purpose. But the official entities haven't moved forward with that.
No.
Posthumous prosecution.
And I honestly still think that that's kind of, it serves their prerogative to make sure that they don't support the web sleuths because they don't want to be scooped by the web sleuths. So you could see how they might be reticent. But also, where's the evidence? Show me the fucking money. And then I'm here, man. I'll fucking, we'll get the case breakers. I want to talk to them and shit. But absolutely, show us the money. I want to see this shit. There's also, there was a rash of things that came out when this news hit saying that Gary Post was a very frequent commenter on Reddit and other various websites and had posted like very pro Lady Gaga posts saying like, I love her music and then she's an artist. And there was somebody else. Yes, and he was a huge Minnesota Vikings
fan. Wait a second.
Fan.
Are you telling me the fucking Zodiac Killer lived long enough where he no longer had to scribe his own very unique things? He lived long enough to have a Reddit?
Yes.
No, I'm not.
But apparently,
I'm not living in a world where the Zodiac Killer is on Reddit. I refuse to live in that world.
No, you. Then you're fine because they're now saying that they believe that that was a hoax, according to Snopes. They're saying that they think that it was a hoax. But that was a thing that came out really quickly. There was also that fucking the post of that one guy. That is weird. The one guy that posted with, like, hanging out with Gary Post. It was his Facebook post. He posted it and he was just like, hanging out with the old man. Nothing but good times. Zodiac, who cares, man? Gonna miss this guy. And he's posted that several times, and people are asking, like, how did you know that he was a Zodiac Killer? Because they're like, you know, apparently he said something. We don't know if that's real or not, but that's a very funny post. And then a woman that knew Gary Post as a little girl said that she was babysat by Gary Post and his wife. She said, of course he's a Zodiac Killer. I know for a fact that he's a Zodiac Killer because he was mean to me. Which is exactly the Ben Kissel, you know.
You're being mean to me.
Like, that's what happens. He dared to be mean to this child, and then also
that's
she
not
accuses
nice.
Him. No, you know,
but it's a big leap, though.
It is. She says she's definitely the Zodiac Killer because he was also mean to his wife and would make his wife recook dinners if he didn't like him.
I'm sure he's a piece of shit.
I'm sure he's an asshole, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he seemed to might have done some physical assaults to the woman as well, but also not to the little girl, but to his wife. And so she's saying, like, yeah, so that mean guy's definitely a Zodiac. But again, that's just somebody who had a bad babysitter.
And of course, you know, on the heels of the catching of the Golden State Killer, which was kind of the biggest... That
big
was like
news.
A great get. That
Samuel
was like,
Little.
Yeah, got one. Samuel
Same
Little.
Thing.
Another one. We got one. This is incredible. These entities have been scaring communities for so long. The one thing that both of those had, I believe Little as well, was DNA.
They
now, when it
him.
Comes to the Zodiac, apparently there is a partial profile on file because the Zodiac, from a stamp that the Zodiac sent during his crime. So I guess he did lick it, which is nice where it's kind of, you know,
but that's also why
another
I always
perfect
use,
Zodiac letter.
I use that perfect. I use a sponge now. Just for that fact.
You know. So who knows what's happening with that. Either way, it's keeping the true crime community
a buzz,
a flurry. And in many ways, I think that is fun for all of us and truly in for the victims, hopefully closure for the families. That would be a wonderful thing. So It is.
It would be. And honestly, getting Zodiac would be really nice. But there's still a lot of people that believe that it's Arthur Allen, which I am still kind of in that camp. And we will fucking see, won't we? Won't we? Because yes. We'll see if they end up putting out any of this information. There's another true crime story that has been a big deal this week that is absolutely brutal. You might want to read into this one a little bit because it's a little bit more complicated and it's mostly rumor. So that's, you kind of have to sort through it. It is about the disappearance of Cassidy Rainwater. That was a woman that went missing, I believe, in July. She was reported missing on July 25th. It was around that time period. And there was a man by the name of James David Phelps who said that he was involved in this woman's life, saying, "I was helping this woman to get back on her feet," right? That she was this 33-year-old woman living with this weird-ass guy, I guess, in the middle of Missouri at his cabin at 386. Moon Valley Road, which is, I guess, near this place it's near Windyville in Missouri. Right?
Okay.
But they say that it's haunted, right? So they call Windyville in Missouri, they call it Spookaville.
Oh, right? My goodness gracious.
It's spooky
gracious.
Over there, right? And it sounds not, very spooky.
It's not just James Phelps. It's also a fellow named Timothy Norton. They both appeared in court this past, or not so this past went, Tuesday, but Tuesday, October 5th.
They managed to work out that this was the last known location where Cassidy Rainwater was found, right? So they went, they interviewed them, they said, well, the last we saw her, she left in the middle of the night, she got into a car and left, right? And that was it, right? And then a picture from the internet was sent to the police that was a picture of a semi-nude woman pictured inside of a giant cage, right? And they said, I believe this is to be, this is a woman by the name of CR. You need to look into it. And apparently they did the work. They enhanced it. They did all their forensic work. They did believe, yes, that was Cassidy Rainwater. They went, arrested the two men. They were weird ass roommates, right? Because James D. Phelps is exactly as you imagine him. He looks like he looks like a rat with glasses. And then Timothy Norton's an over the night trucker, right? And Timothy Norton looks the part. They went
up
there. They
really
found they found several pictures inside of his cell phone of a semi-nude Cassidy Rainwater, and they arrested him.
If you combine the two, they have a full, luscious head of hair, which is very nice. Because Norton's got a long mane, but nothing on top. And then creepy, skinny pervert has a lot on top, but nothing on the sides. So evidently what we have is a situation that I was talking with a sex worker about recently, and they were talking about how the woman that they knew went missing. And they found out that she had air quote signed, and I don't know if this is this case exactly, but they found out she air quote signed an agreement to become somebody's slave. And then that person ended up dying and the charges were never filed against this person. But I think in this case, it was straight up a kidnapping followed by what seems to be Leonard Lake and Charles Ng like activity.
Yes, and now what they are saying, and now the rumor mills are going. One rumor mill is that when they went to fucking arrest him, because now they're both being held without bail, that apparently the story is that when they arrived at James D. Phelps' house, is that he showed them how he had been consuming human meat. Ooh. Right. And that there was examples of human meat. They found meat hooks on the house of the property, all this kind of shit. Also, you know what happened last Monday? As soon as they fucking house burnt down. Which revealed the cage. Oh, yeah. Don't know what the fuck happened. Don't know why that place wasn't secure. So there's rumors of cannibalism. Now they're trying to connect them to many missing women. And so Timothy Norton got involved because Timothy Norton's a long haul trucker. Now what we're seeing is if these rumors are true, now all of this is baseless rumors. They have no fucking clue. As a matter of fact, the sheriff got so fucking mad about the rumors that he wrote an article in the paper where he goes right for Web Sleuths, where he's been like, all y'all armchair detectives sitting around with your cheesy poofs and your box wine on your couch. That's what he hits. He goes right into it.
That's Dallas County Sheriff Scott Rice. This is a quote, because as Henry said, I think it does, in the mind of a sheriff, they are probably not as helpful as they are aggravating. And then, I mean, web sleuths, despite the fact, again, they can do some good work. But this is a quote from Rice. He says, "This isn't a TV series or a movie where we go to a commercial break and have lab results in 15 minutes. Searching a crime scene for 7 days, 24 hours a day takes that long, 168 hours." So he is pumping the brakes a little bit on some of the expectation. He goes on to say, we're working in the real world, and this is an active investigation. We all members of the prosecution team believe that it is appropriate to release information, and we will keep you informed until that time. I can tell you we have all parties involved with Cassidy Rainwater's case in jail, and we expect additional charges to be filed in coming days. So they believe it's only those two people.
I mean, who fucking knows, because they still haven't excavated all the fucking property, because the one thing I'll tell you what, having two human-sized cages on your property doesn't necessarily point towards, like, oh, he's just, you know, loves collecting cages. Like, I've never heard of someone just having a cage.
No.
I guess if you're, like, if you live in Vegas and you run, like, a go-go company where you're trying to, like, you know, you work with dancers or something like that.
But that's
if you're
different
in theatrical
kind of cage.
Productions.
My understanding is these are dog cages, and obviously,
yeah, man,
you know,
have you seen the pictures of the cages?
Yeah.
It's bad, dude. It is fucking, like, old-school, like, deer hunter-style, like, human cages. It's not good.
I don't like all of the restrictions, okay? But let's just say Home Depot. You go in, you buy five dog cages. I just need to see a picture on your phone of a dog.
Of a dog that big.
I just need to see you hugging a dog and say, this would be why. Do you have a bevy of dogs? Even just one dog. And maybe you want to have other dogs.
Seriously.
Okay. But why?
He had two.
Lord.
He had two of them. I don't know. Maybe he made them. Maybe he built them. I'll tell you what, because we bought one of those like big like animatronic like jumping things, right? And my goals, I wanted to put it in a big dog cage.
Right.
And it's actually more difficult than you think to just get one of those big dog cages. And I'm just like kind of afraid of the tracks, because then also it's like, what do I do with, I just have this giant human-sized dog cage, like, from now on? Like, what do I do with it? Right? Because
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
I don't know what it would do, because it will definitely like probably hinder me reselling this house if I have this massive human-sized dog cage in the back of it. And
right.
I say, like, sometimes I have to protect myself from myself.
Absolutely. I would, if I went over to your house for Halloween and I saw a bunch of dog cages, I'd say, okay, it's Halloween. But if I went over for Thanksgiving and they were still there, I'd say, we need to talk about why are there dog cages? Wendy is quite tiny and she needs maybe a little cage, like a little walnut home.
Like, I couldn't help but notice that Wendy's outside of the cage. And they're like, no, yeah, Wendy's the guard.
Yes. So the reason why the web sleuths continue on is, again, because of the slow drip from the Cassidy Rainwater case. And we'll see. We'll follow this one because it's really sad. We need to give justice to this woman, and it sucks. And the whole thing, what a horrible freaking way to die.
It is.
At the hands of these two goddamn absolute losers.
Well, they're complete. These are like the type of monsters you expect them to be. At least they look like that. This week we're starting on a heavy hitter series that it's like the characters specifically don't look like they would do this type of things. Where meanwhile, like these guys, like if you were to tell me the cast two guys that keep people in human cages in order to eat them, I'd be like, we got it right here. You're going to be a star.
Gosh darn. Yeah, these people are freaking gnarly. So anyway, look into that case. We'll keep you updated. And, you know, I guess the web sleuths in this case have
They're
done
trying.
What the web sleuths do, which is exactly that. They try, and sometimes they do good.
Live from your grave.
All right, well, I want to talk about this story because I mentioned sex workers.
Yes.
Porn, it's hard. It's hard on the body.
It is. It's hard to do porn.
It is hard.
It's hard. And mentally, it's difficult. It's a performance.
It is. It's difficult. It's hard to act. It's hard to wink it. It's hard to do those things, right?
Yes.
On camera.
You have total physical control.
And we know male and female porn stars. It's a different kind of difficult for both of them, but they both are hard jobs.
It is hard.
Anyway, apparently, one ex-porn star, she was Hungarian.
That's the problem. I'm going to say that is really funny.
There
that's
we
really
go.
Funny.
Really
that's
nailed
really
it there.
Good.
Anyway, she was doing Hungarian porn, which I actually don't know what that is. I've never
I
seen that.
I think it's a lot of eating rock soup. I think that they, the Danube.
I am sure there's a lot of
featured,
fun.
A lot
fun
of borscht.
Things. Yeah. Anyway, she had a 2-year-old son. And I say had because she doesn't have it anymore. Former Hungarian porn star has been accused of fatally stabbing her 2-year-old son. And then, oh, where she put it in the gutter somewhere. That'd be horrible. She left it in the bed. That'd be really bad, too.
Yeah,
it's
it would
not
be also
do.
Bad.
No.
All of it's bad.
She instead took the body to a supermarket, and then she dumped the body on the checkout counter, and I guess she wanted to ring it up. I have no idea what was happening there, but her name is Katlin I'm just going to go with Braddock's at the end.
Yeah, you can't.
Caitlin Braddock's. And she was at this chain store, and I guess it's a very popular chain store. She walked in with the toddler.
Like, you buy chains, or is this just like a Hungarian store? Like, you go
like a Walgreens. This would be like if you went to a Ralph's or a Walgreens or a
Sam's Club. But it's called like Knark or Schlarsch because it's Hungarian.
Yeah, basically. The toddler had been stabbed 9 times across his chest and neck.
None of it's good, man.
No, it's not good. His blood-soaked T-shirt and his mother's jumper were later discovered in an abandoned building nearby. The kid is like super cute, and obviously this woman, she's like pretty attractive, which doesn't matter. I'm just saying it's different than the other conversation.
It is because it doesn't.
When I think of someone who is going to stab their kid 9 times, I think of someone like the aforementioned Australian.
You say this. Oh, Catherine Knight.
I think of a Catherine Knight.
Funny because I think it's the opposite. I think because of what we've learned here in America, I think that the women that kill their kids the most often are the hot ones because they're trying to do other shit. They're trying to move on.
What was it? Susan something?
Was it Andrea Yates?
Andrea Yates.
Yeah, she wasn't a looker. But it doesn't matter. Sick, you know what I mean? She was sick.
She was mentally ill. Yes, of course. So investigators believe the motive for the gruesome murder was revenge. Against Alex's dad, Norbert.
That's like the type of shit I don't particularly understand in terms of like the idea of the revenge killing of your family, because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's not good, man. Like it doesn't help anybody. I feel for this. Obviously, this is a very devastating story. It's a very sad story. Wow. What a fuck. You got to be careful. You need a license to be a parent. I think you should be able to do that. I think that you should be able, you need to take a test to be a parent.
Yeah. I guess, apparently she fled to Italy with the son last month after the Hungarian court granted the custody to her husband. So
I'm looking at this picture of Andrea Yates, and she kind of looks like, I'm trying to put my finger, she kind of looks like fucking David Koresh. She's a weird looking woman. She's got big glasses. Yeah, maybe it's the glasses. It's the side bang, but she's got some looks on her. Yeah, and then in this other picture, she looks like a fucking circus geek. I know that that's kind of like, she's not getting her hair done or anything.
It's all good. Braddock says, I did not kill my son, but it just seems like the way that the body was thrown onto
register. We're just going to have to assume that you are the one that killed your son, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yeah. This welcome to Klorskisklort. We'll have Igor. He is our main, I'm going to say, attendant, crime attendant. I don't know what they call them in Hungary.
Don't forget the supermarket.
They put you in a cage.
The supermarket was in Italy, so it may have been a very classy place.
Italian.
Italian food is wonderful.
Now, one thing I remember about Italy is how many, it's like just nothing but just like beautiful people on scooters and then guys with the fucking assault rifles and shit.
Yep, and then every building someone has to be like, beautiful, right? Built by the fascists, but beautiful.
Yeah. Just be like, ah, cool. Thank you.
Good. Anyway, what a horrible day to be a cashier.
Honestly, it's already so difficult to
be a man who has to bag, or a high school student who's bagging that day, and you're like,
it's so difficult to do it already. Honestly. All right, let's go into some fun, lighter news. Okay. I love this guy. All right, so in Norway, they still have a princess. Nice. Right? Whatever. Who gives a shit?
No. All right.
Princess Mertelis. Right? She's a princess. What did she do to earn that? Nothing. She came out of a fucking pussy. Who gives a shit? Everybody does. Right?
Sure.
You're a princess. Who gives a shit? Right?
Well, but you know, it does depend what you do with it, the title. Some do better than others.
She's fucking it up.
Okay.
So she's got a boyfriend, right? Which is also weird. It is weird, like, the idea of, like, princesses having boyfriends.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, what else are they supposed to do?
I don't know, like, suitors or something? Or, like, guys come around, they're supposed to come and give you their ring or something, and, like, they put, like, they tell your father they're going to purchase you, and then you go with them.
Yeah, perhaps traditions have changed a little bit, but yeah.
Tim, this is my thing, all right? And I'm going to, before we get into the story, if you're going to still be a princess, you need to live by the same old shitty rules that were there in the 1300s. If you're going to be a princess and wear a crown, this is what happens. You're already living in a fantasy world, okay? I feel like you should continue to live in your little fantasy world.
I mean, she is the daughter of King Harold and Queen Sonia, which sounds really cool.
What is this fucking Mr. Rogers' neighborhood?
Well, right? There's nothing wrong with fantasy land or imagine. What was it? Imagine land? Make believe land? Whatever it was.
I don't care. I always fell asleep.
I care. I care because Mr. Rogers, he's an American icon.
Yes.
Thank God. We have one man
that
did not have a secret, dark past in a room with names on it filled with victims. But she did end up, and Henry will go on, but she did end up falling in love with an American shaman named Durek Barrett.
Yes. So she met a shaman that she fell in love with. Just means that, you know what that means? He's got a big dick.
That's
what that means. And then she's in love
so
with him.
So a princess meets a shaman. This is kind of sweet.
It's the shittiest fairy tale I've ever heard. He got in trouble this weekend because this shaman here, he has an Instagram on Sunday where he came forward and said that he is half reptilian. And I guess
half
the royal family. Yeah, oh yeah, he made sure he put that caveat in there because it can't be a full reptilian. Never go full reptilian. We have learned that on the show. And so this is what he wrote in this Instagram message that he immediately had to delete.
What?
I am a hybrid of a space lizard, reptilian, and Andromeda, princess from Greek mythology. And I also have ancient spirits from the ancient world. Lies have been told about a species that I want to address. We are a cluster of beings. And that means we have come here to create structures that help people to liberation.
Okay.
Space locks are here to loosen the system in a significant way. Everything that is locked in structures that actually limit or prevent people from seeing liberation, we shake. We come as disruptors to disrupt frequencies, which is absolutely incorrect.
Can I just say
because you're a reptilian.
This? Can we not have any more disruptors? Wouldn't that be nice if the leaders are like, I'm here to fuck it up. Like, I would just love one to be like, not going to disrupt you. We're just going to try to do the best we can. And be like, thank you. That's all
thank
I
you.
Need.
Just
all
like,
I'm asking for.
Can we please just stop having the bridges collapse? I mean,
please,
that would be
God.
Really nice. But this guy is a, they had it just, I guess the big thing that they're really taking umbrage on is his criticisms of 5G. That was a big thing. But they had to go, they had to make him delete the post because I guess this was embarrassing and no one really wants to talk about it.
No, the Norwegian royal court, they will not comment on the statement.
Although
I don't know why.
Oh, on the shaman that they have to deal with that has to come to all of these royal dinners just being like, have you guys tried extra breathing? This is the thing, y'all. If you really want to understand breath, you have to go, you have to breathe in till it hurts. And that's where you're finding the understanding.
Well, Princess Martha Louise, that's the princess who loves this shaman. She was planning to move to the United States, but evidently after the post, she pumped the brakes just a little bit. She's like,
think
that might
this.
Be a red flag. And she is not going to move to the United States as
this
of
is
yet.
This is a fantastic, like much better version of a Hallmark film.
Yeah.
Where the princess falls in love with an American and everyone's so excited. But it's like, cause you know what she did? She didn't just fall in love with any American.
No.
She fell in love with a real American. A schizoid, absolutely mentally destroyed by social media person that is just there looking for likes. She fell in love with a progeny of Alex Jones. And isn't that, I'm just so glad she got immediately fucking brought into the system.
Isn't that wonderful?
You're immediately shamed. Welcome to America.
I do think their hot love may have chilled a little bit, though, because Princess Martha says the wedding is not imminent.
Mm.
And so maybe this
Babe, I thought our wedding was super imminent, babe. You said I was about to be a fucking prince.
You have got to wait until the ring is on your finger before you pretend to be a reptilian. Everybody knows that. That's just a little bit of love advice from Side Stories here at Last Podcast.
He's Gwyneth Paltrow's spiritual advisor.
Well, that explains basically all of it.
Wow, this fucking moron. Look at this guy. He is like, he's dressed, he's wearing a jacket that looks like he took it off of a couch. He is the fancy dress. Oh, he's wearing a lot of Afghans. You got this picture of him with this picture of an ocean with him and Gwyneth Paltrow all smelling like her pussy. That's the one thing also we know about her house is that it just smells like of her delicate pussy all day. Because she's got the Glade plug-in for it.
Well, of course, naturally, she has all the money in the world. She can make that entire house smell any which way she wants to.
Wow,
so,
look at these robes. I need more robes, man. I would be taken so much more spiritually seriously if I wore more robes.
Yeah. So, yes, anyway, it looks as if they were quite close for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. He doesn't really...
Well, it seems like she was in on the grift. Man. She was in on the grift for a while Shaman Durek in one post says, Princess Martha Lewis of Norway and I would like to invite you to join us on our tour called Activating Divinity, where we will hold a powerful space for you to explore your divine self while you learn how to truly live in the beauty of your life without fear. It just sounds like it's a lot of trust falls in a Hyatt, but it might be very expensive because you got the Princess of Norway there doing whatever the fuck it is that she does. I guess when it comes down to it, it's that you, as a shaman, a princess has the same amount of credentials.
Right. And of course, he is a shaman to the stars. Again, never follow any celebrity advice. No. They're all complete morons.
Yes.
He is, according to him, a sixth generation shaman. And again, he's got a small or a large celebrity following. And you can check out his book, Spirit Hacking. He released that in 2019. So he's trying to hack your spirit, which, you know, I bet you he does say like 10% of the advice he gives is probably like, okay, that'll make my life better.
Sure.
But then the other 90% are like, oh, he's trying to sell me a book.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
the whole thing.
Don't forget that.
It's like the first week of Scientology technically can help you with your speaking skills.
Absolutely. It's like
carrying
the first,
a dictionary
it's like
the, is not a bad idea.
The first level of improv. Fantastic.
It's
gives
really
you a little
good.
Tool belt. Gives you a tool belt. Why not?
Yeah. The rest of it is just you're auditioning to date the teacher.
Live from your grave.
Well, speaking of acting, Henry, actor's death is never pleasant, is it?
No, because we're always scream.
Unless
we scream and we act and we say, no, what am I done? I need to go to a commercial audition.
Although the perfect place for an actor to die, is it not the stage?
I would love to.
Yevgeny Kulish, 37 years old. Man, it wasn't good for him. He was acting, and then all of a sudden he was hit by a ramp on Saturday night at a Moscow theater.
Whoa,
and because
he
of
got
that,
hit by a ramp, he died that way?
He's
oh,
dead.
That's not fun. They didn't even get to see it.
Yeah, he got hit by a ramp on Saturday night. Footage was shared all over online. People attempted to revive the actor, but they weren't able to. The orchestra also stopped immediately playing as the stage curtain was closed in less than a minute.
Yeah, because they crunched him.
Yeah, they crunched him, but you could hear people in the audience scream. One screamed, get a doctor, call an ambulance. Someone got hit by the backdrop. So that's not good.
Whoa.
And so he did die now, which
is
also very sad.
That
the
is
audience,
very sad.
Unlike Vince McMahon with WWE, when Owen Hart died, the audience was asked to leave.
The show didn't go on
because sometimes.
That's how you know it's not American.
Yeah, sometimes the show actually doesn't
Honestly,
go on.
Honestly, I'm actually very surprised that the Russians did that. They're so, like, you know. Say what you will, but the Russians, they have a number one very dark sense of humor.
Yes, they do.
And they are very fatalistic. They're very
they
much
are.
Oh, that is life, isn't it?
That was the greatest performance of Don Giovanni
I've ever seen.
The actor himself looks like a real fun guy. He's trying to be he's a pro actor. He's got a funny little hat on and he's ready to be a big time star. But apparently his light was snuffed out too early. A video was shared by the Telegram channel 112. And it shows the stage actors begging staff to lift the fallen prop. But I guess the staff were...
Union break.
You have to do it. We love our unions, but you got to respect their break. It just is what it is.
No, sorry. Mario's not back.
We're the union that puts the prop down. The other union comes and picks it up. It is what it is.
We're pro-union.
We love our unions. I mean, that's just the facts. They need to be treated with immense respect. But
Still.
Yep, so he did die. He did die there.
That is very sad. Hey, man, actors gotta die eventually. It's how do you get to the in memoriam on the Emmys? You know what I mean? That's the only way to get there.
Do they have one in
No, in Russia. In Russia, memoriam has you. I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. Whatever, bro. Whatever, dude. I can't always be gold.
You know what, though? I think it is gold.
Right before we do some hero of the week, make sure if you're in West Virginia, keep an eye out for the Ogwa River Monster. It looks like they fucking found him. They say that they saw him. This guy's been talked about for a long time. It's a big old turtle. Yep. They said these two fishermen, they share their story. They thought they saw a homeless man struggling in the river, and they realized it was a giant turtle. No, this is true.
What?
Yes. Yep.
How the fuck you confuse a turtle with a homeless man?
I think nine Miller Lights. The Ogwa monster is a river monster who is at the heart of this story. It's believed to be a creature weighing roughly 500 pounds. This is from Bro Bible.
So whatever, however that helps you.
The Ogwa River monster is thought to look something like an alligator snapping turtle, but it can come on dry land, and it apparently can eat entire deer. This legend's been going back since 1745.
Wow.
Because they said it ate a child.
Child, don't do that.
But Nate Moreno and Jack Byers, they believe that they saw the Ogwa River monster while they were out there. Well, you know what those old boys were doing. They were fishing for some catfish. And the two men, they spotted that Ogwa monster in the moonlight, and they thought it was a homeless man, but they said, no. And the first thing we thought it was someone swimming on their hands and knees, crawling across rocks. But they had a long-ass door. It had a long-ass tail there. And then when they looked, they brought a flashlight and they saw a big old turtle. And they were like, that's the biggest turtle I ever done seen. That's bigger than most turtles. That's Raphael.
Aww.
And they thought it was Raphael. They were like, we gotta have him see if Raphael fuck a human woman like he tried to do in the movie.
Well, April O'Neil was quite interested in Raphael, of course, until the person who was not actually in the comic books, I don't believe,
Jones was...
Was he in the comic books up to the movie? I believe he was a new character introduced. The memo.
Either way, people will yell.
Yes. Okay, and just before we get to Hero of the Week also, as someone who worked at maybe 10 total fast food restaurants, be very careful who you're talking to, okay?
Yes.
Because you never know when you're the last customer to yell at some buddy who is working at a Wendy's and they just have had enough and they have a falling down moment and they douse you with a bunch of oil from the deep fryer. DeMarcus Pritchett, he's 21.
That's good.
I love this man. His mugshot, he actually looks like quite a nice fella. He's got his Wendy's shirt on, but over the Wendy's shirt is the jail. It's the jail. He's got his jail thing on, but the Wendy's like shirt is underneath it. Anyway, some dude got into a fight with him in the drive-thru, and then Pritchard was going back to give the guy his cash, but on the way he filled a metal pan full of oil and then he doused him with it.
That's not good. Look at this. I go, but no, I like the look of his face though.
Yeah. Well, cops.
He's so happy.
He is so happy because I think he feels like he did what he had to do, because apparently the name of the victim is Zvian Johnson. Apparently, Mr. Johnson had been, quote, harassing him over the course of several weeks about dogs. The nature of his purported canine conflict is not further addressed.
Yeah, yeah. What is he just about dogs?
I don't know.
Do you think it's just been about, like, do you think it's like one of those where he's been like, a Dachshund's not a dog? You're like, my whole family's been raising Dachshunds since I was, get off this damn boat.
Absolutely. And don't go through the Wendy's drive-thru and just criticize the manager about his dogs.
Guy was heinously burned, though, right?
Yeah, over the left side of his body. Not that bad, though. They just said it was like blistering. It doesn't sound any worse than the Caffey situation at McDonald's where the guy burnt his crotch, which was actually pretty gnarly.
It was harrowing. The old woman burnt her whole fucking...
Yeah, it was that gal. Yeah.
Yeah, it decimated her vagina, dude. And this one, God knows what this does to a bald man's head, because I'm going to imagine the man's bald. Because when it comes down to it, I guess it's better than going through the hair, because I feel like that actually would make the oil stick.
Maybe. It might. I don't know. Let's try never to experience the pain of
hot oil.
Although, again, with my fast food experience, I have been burned quite a few times.
Oh, yes. But also when it comes down to it, man, truly, be kind to them. I'm very, very kind to my fast food workers. Anybody who's handing me food, anybody who is, you have to be kind to these people because you never know when they're going to pop up. They're dealing with a lot.
It's not an easy job.
It's kind of funny because they say this because I feel like back in the day, you would say these things were quote unquote easy jobs. Sure. And I think that is like a thing that keeps popping up. This idea of that's why you got to give a minimum wage and all this kind of stuff. Like, it is absolutely not true. Especially when you are in these food deserts in our country. I know it's like a weird sidestep we get to where it's like, sometimes the only place to get food is the Wendy's. And you go to this place where you go and you got to treat these people with respect because they are feeding our communities. And that's how it fucking comes down. But they're also sadly then at the very edge of the fingertips of some corporate entity that is also making them do whatever it is that they want them to do.
Yeah. And of course, potentially killing us as well. But that's okay.
What are you going to do?
All right, everyone. It's time for Hero of the Week.
The Week. It's a hero.
couple of heroes this week. The first one, I'm talking prisoners. And, you know, it's a little bit controversial because, you know, my thoughts on the prison system, indentured servitude and glorified slavery. But the thing is, sometimes you hear stories and you say, well, this is very sweet in many ways. So over the past 10 years, more than 2,000 personalized quilts have been assembled by inmates of the Missouri South Central Correctional Facility, and they have been donated to children in foster care.
That's sweet.
It's very sweet. This is according to Fred Brown. He said this in an interview. He says, and you know, this is a man who quilts for the foster kids. He says, when I learned that I could help bring a smile to a child's face, I was all in. He goes on, right now I'm working on a puppy quilt that will go to a 13-year-old boy. I don't know anything about him, but I have a feeling he's going to love this quilt. So that is really great, and it's a great kind of rehab.
Mommy, what does boofing mean? It says here, boof it to hide it. What does that mean? What, hooch?
Oh, my. Well, boofing it, of course, is a fantastic way to get through security. So this is what he told the Washington Post. And by him, I mean William White. He's an upholsterer by trade. He has been beginning to serve his sentence since 2015. He says, the guys were making these beautiful quilts to give away to foster kids, and I knew it was something I wanted to be a part of. I have six kids, and sewing had always been my passion. And now, here is a way to give back. So hopefully that is a skill also that can be used when they get out of incarceration, and they can help a society, because who doesn't need someone to quilt every now and again?
People like quilts, and honestly, when it comes down to it, they're actually also, they're quite expensive, too.
They are quite expensive. Yeah. All right, and just last hero of the week, we're talking Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, no. You had to. You have to do it. They're there. The opportunity is there. We got to do it.
Because it's not about how great they've been playing on the football field. Woo, what a year it's been. It is because...
Oh, has it been good?
Yeah, 4-1 so far.
We've had a couple times. It's been fun going to see some of the masculine boy games with you, but then I mostly kind of check out, but I have a good time. Being there with you. I like spending time with you. It feels like it's a way for us to bond.
It is indeed a great way for us to bond. We bond over a lot of stuff. Brian Flea Engel, he heard that Aaron Jones has lost a necklace and that the necklace contained his father's ashes. So he said, oh, no, this can't happen. Aaron Jones at one point in the game scored a touchdown, and it was at that moment that he lost the necklace, but he didn't realize until after the game. So Aaron Jones is like, I'm going to go scour the field, and he really did. It took him until 1:45 in the morning, and he found the necklace, and Jones then had a great game against the Detroit Lions, and Jones was extremely grateful. And it's just those people going out of their way doing the extra stuff that really helps. And, you know, when it comes to sentimental stuff, you can't put a price tag on it.
No, because that's the kind of stuff you can't get back. Because unless you go up and dig up whatever's left of them, that's not how it works.
Yeah, and it's also very sad because his father died at age 56 from complications with COVID. So please be safe out there. And again, as the pill form might come out or whatever it is. You know, we don't preach, but just be safe. Because
be safe. Get this stabby. It works. We've been showing it. Fucking half of humankind has been gotten the fucking vaccine, and it's fine.
You will grow to 6'7", though. Or 5'7".
Hey, so there's whatever it takes.
You become Henry or myself. One of the two. Juice. And I hope you took... If you take the Merck, you'll get the jerk.
Yeah, the jerk. I don't know. I really like that idea. Free hand jobs with the Merck. All right, it's time for some listener emails.
All right.
All right, we got some weird shit here. I'm going to do a couple of these because we got a little bit of creepies.
Okay.
A lot of good weird-ass cryptids popping around. But this
I love this. Maybe I'm just noticing, but I feel like there's a resurgence of cryptid talk.
There really has been. We also people sending in really interesting stuff. I love anomalous phenomena. So it is really fun to get into it. So here we go. This is a scary story. So I worked at a lockdown psychiatric hospital. And in my first year working, I worked the night shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. We were extremely short-staffed and only had 3 staff total for the night. There was an assault on another ward, so I had to run there to help out, leaving my ward with just 2 staff. When I got back to the ward, I was speaking with a patient when another patient approached us. She said to us in a very lighthearted voice, "While you were gone, I killed someone."
Okay.
Now, working at a psychiatric hospital with your clientele also having committed heinous crimes while out in the world, you hear all sorts of weird shit. Especially when you're new. Some of the patients will intentionally say fucked up things to scare you or just for your reaction.
Right.
So I didn't fully believe her. However, it was time for a war check, and that definitely motivated me to get checking on my other patients. So I started walking away from her, and I hear, "You're getting warmer."
Oh my God, that's still horrifying.
Still can hear it in my head, and it chills me to the bone. I'm checking all the rooms, and all of my patients are fine, until I get to the last room. I open the door, and there is blood everywhere. She had strangled the man with the blanket until he passed out, and then bashed his face against the ground until he was dead.
Oh my God.
She was outside the room smiling in at me and said, "I was going to do his roommate too, but I didn't have time." Oh, long story short, she was a very sick lady and is still receiving help at a different hospital. I'm still at the hospital and we haven't had a murder since. And now we get better staffing numbers. So that is fucking scary as fuck.
Oh my God. Well, thank you for what you do. Thanks for being on the front lines between Richard Chase and my front door.
So scary.
Yeah.
I grew up in a 150-year-old log cabin. I was six. 6 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, sex!
Wow.
When we first moved in, and I was playing with my dolls at the bottom of the stairs, when my little brother's toy ball came bouncing down the stairs, of course. I took it back up, and I put it in his toy box and continued to play. I hear the ball roll across the floor above me, and then bounce down the stairs again. It would happen a lot, no matter how far down I put the ball in the toy box, or even if I put it in the closet and shut the door. One day, my mother was talking shit about our resident ghost, and she came and laid on the couch beside me and flipped her hair over the armrest. A few minutes later, she started kicking me, and I looked over at her. She had a terrified look on her face, and then you could see her hair move to the left, and she rolled off the couch.
Whoa.
Something had grabbed her hair and held her down and then yanked her off the couch by her hair. When I was older, my parents had passed away. I moved in with my kids. Several times a month while I was cooking, I could see a shadow person looking at me from down the hallway. It would be a nice talk. I would be nice and talk to it about what I was cooking and how my day went. My daughter had a friend who stayed at her house a few times and then refused to stay again. Her mother told me that she didn't want to stay at our house because she couldn't sleep. She said the faces in the walls would talk to her all night. But apparently, whoever bought the cabin from them had it demolished. They just said they fucking they just got rid of it. And then those are just a few of the highlights. They said that they live with that for their entire family. Their entire family lived with that for generations.
Well, you moved the tombstones,
but you didn't move the bodies.
I don't know if demolishing the building is going to get rid of the ghost. You may have just angered it even further.
Maybe. Who knows? And there's one last one. This one, I just thought this was fucking weird. This is a single-use cryptid, and I will say this is for you to look it up at home. One night, when I was probably around 5 or 6, right? I lived in a trailer park in rural Pennsylvania. I was asleep in my bedroom when I was awoken by what I thought was something hitting me. I lay there still groggy and trying to comprehend what had happened when something definitely hit me again. It was a Lego. I rolled out of my bed and onto the floor, confused. And that's when I saw it. On the floor with me, a few feet away, was what my 90s kid brain could only comprehend as, now get this, the monster from the Honeycomb cereal commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Look up this monster. It looks like a hedgehog.
I've seen it. I see it.
The encounter probably only took seconds, but it seemed as though time was slowing. I could hear the creature making a vibrating noise, not quite a growl or a purr. I slowly reached a hand towards it out of curiosity. It snapped at me. I looked away, and when I looked back, it was gone. What the fuck is that shit?
Integrated marketing.
That is intense.
Well, perhaps they're hiding cryptids in real time on our cereal boxes. So when they do reveal themselves, we'll say, I know you.
You're
the honeycomb monster.
Yep. And then you don't know. You honestly ever know a cryptid.
No, you don't. You never know any spokesperson. Just ask Jared Fogle or
you'll never know him.
You never
know. What Mr. Peanut has done?
Well, he died. He is dead, but we're not even getting into all
suicide.
Of that.
Suicide.
I don't know. I don't know. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you're doing well out there.
Yes, you get out there. You fucking live your life on your fucking... Look for them big-ass turtles. Right? Because you never know when you're going to see one. It gets you in the fucking paper, right?
I love a turtle. I mean,
you see a big-ass turtle. Number one, Try not to kill it, even though I've heard turtle soup is delicious. I've never had
it. No, I'll get you a gumbo that doesn't have turtle in it. It's
fine.
Yeah,
you don't need it. But you love your life, knowing for a fact that you've just made the newspaper with no skills whatsoever. Just two eyeballs at work. So that you can see a turtle and then talk about it and then laugh your way to the bank as you make absolutely $0. Because guess what? It comes down to cryptids. No matter what anybody says to you about cryptids, they are not lucrative. They ruin your life.
They can.
Don't get involved.
They can. Also, big shout outs to all cashiers out there. Any cashier who's had a deal with a stabbed 2-year-old plopped onto their counter, thank you for what you do. Thanks for being on the front lines of a whole bunch of angry people.
Yes.
And of course, to our fast food workers as well. Why not? Thank you for what you do. And give an extra french fry. Or give it a little chicken nugget in there every now and again, too.
Yeah, come on. I love it when they toss it. Because then I feel like I'm really being served.
I know.
All right. Because now they're looking at me. They're seeing me.
They're seeing. That's an extra onion ring guy.
Get that Spring Hill Jack coffee. Get that fucking coffee.
Also,
it's so delicious.
I want to thank everyone supporting the wonderful book, Soul Plumber. Y'all are so sweet.
We're going to the second printing.
Second freaking printing. How amazing is that? So, just so proud of everyone. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me. Hail me.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Also, the Fury Wilder fight was amazing. If you didn't watch it, I would almost say watching it again.
Oh, really?
Because the intro was really cool.
All right.
It was creepy.
I like watching the boys struggle.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.